All right, our eighth case of this morning is United States against Trenice Blaylock. And is Mr. Belasis here? He did sign in. Okay, we'll wait a minute. Our counsel for case number 9 in the courtroom. Maybe if it's okay with you, Mr. Ingraham, we'll take case number 9 and hopefully find Mr. Belasis and take them out of order. All right. Well, case number 9 is United States against Abu Saria, Ghazi Abu Saria. Ms. Stojkovic.
May it please the court. My name is Linda Stojkovic. I represent the appellant, Mr. Ghazi Abu Saria. There are two issues up on appeal today, Your Honors. First is the denial of the plea agreement and whether the district court abused its discretion in denying the accepting of the plea agreement. The second issue is whether the district court erred in increasing Mr. Abu Saria's sentence by 2 levels for his leadership role in violation of Booker. In order to vary this morning's schedule this morning, I think I'll start with the plea agreement. There's no doubt in this case that the district court was expeditious. The question is whether the district court's desire to stay on schedule interfered with Mr. Abu Saria's right to have a voluntary and timely plea entered.
But you do concede, first of all, that the whole process of accepting a plea agreement and the like is very much within the discretion of a district judge. And when Mr. Abu Saria, instead of saying what the judge thought he was going to say when she was going through the colloquy the morning of trial, suddenly announced, well, no, I haven't talked about this enough with my lawyer, she decided, okay, time to go and have a trial. Why is a trial such a bad thing anyway? What prejudice did he suffer because there was a trial?
Well, the prejudice here was clear. I think if you look at the dissent in Kelly, the prejudice here is similar in that he would have received a 3-level reduction for his acceptance of responsibility as one.
Are we sure of that? I mean, was this plea agreement one that bound the judge, or was this the usual plea agreement that says sentencing is up to the judge?
I believe at this time that I believe he would have received the 3 levels off based upon what the negotiations were with the government and the type of agreement that they had chosen to enter into. I also believe he would have also received some credit for his cooperation. There had been 2 proffers in the month of September. Remember, he was arraigned August 26th of 2003. The trial was October. They managed to somehow fit in 2 proffers. He was cooperating not only in that matter, but in matters around the country. And I believe the district court was aware of that at the time and aware of another matter that he was pending at that time in Kentucky, and that he probably and likely would have received credit for his cooperation. The government and Mr. Abu Saria had gotten into those negotiations for that sole purpose.
But isn't the problem, I mean, listen to yourself. I mean, you're having to speak in the conditional tense. And the fact on the ground was there was no plea agreement that he was willing to sign off on. I mean, there was the one that had been reached the Friday afternoon, I guess, when the judge wasn't in the courthouse anymore, but he didn't back that plea agreement up. So we're left to speculate.
But the question is whether he did back it or not. There were a whole host of reasons that he said not really. One could be, first of all, Mr. Abusaria is not born in the United States. His grasp of what the judge was asking him really could have been cleared up by one follow-up question. It could have also been relating...
There wasn't any objection to this at the time, though, was
there? Was no ability to. The judge... There was no ability to object. At that point, the proceedings were terminated, and there was no ability to re-entertain the question. The jury was brought in. There was no ability, unlike in Kelly, to even address the issue again.
Well, somebody could have said, well, he doesn't understand the question, Your Honor, I assume.
There was no ability. The judge walked off the bench, and there was no ability to even respond to that question at that time, which is the problem in this case. There was I believe a clear mischaracterization of what happened here. There was no true delay. There was a constant working towards and an indication that there was a voluntary plea in this matter. Mr. Abusaria signed off on this plea on the 10th. 4 days had transpired. He wanted to enter the plea. The confusion, I believe, was contributed to by the district court. It could have been clarified with one question. I believe that the judge has that responsibility at that point. The district court has the responsibility to inquire to make sure the resources are not wasted of the court to put the jury in the box. Nobody was prepared. The government at that time wasn't prepared to go to trial. All the resources had been put towards having this plea agreement entered.
Could I ask you to switch for a moment to the Palladino, et cetera, argument? Are you claiming constitutional error or non-constitutional error? And either way, is it your position there should be a limited remand?
I believe that it would be a constitutional error because there was a two-level increase here without sufficient inquiry as to whether the increase was merited in this case.
And so you're saying this was not encompassed within the facts that any fact that he admitted?
No, this was absolutely not. In fact, I believe counsel had indicated there would be argument for no increase in this case, and there really was no ability on counsel's part to engage in the proper type of proceeding for that. So we would be asking that a limited remand be issued in this case.
Mm-hmm. When the sentence received, so it was 57 months, that would have been within the range without this enhancement, wouldn't it?
Well, the range the range that was given, it was at that point, but I believe it would have, he would have received, I think, two levels lower, which would have been about 51 months, so it would have been below that range.
You sure about that? I'm not. I think that's an issue here.
It's my recollection, Your Honor, that the two-level increase would have reduced him.
The sentence he got was at the top of the range that was applicable even without the adjustment.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
I
you.
I think the range without the two-level adjustment would be 46 to
57
wouldn't it?
And he received it at the high end.
Yes, with without the adjustment, but with the adjustment, he received the low end?
I believe so, Your Honor.
So, well, it's obviously a little bit different in that if the guidelines were structuring what the judge was doing, if he received the low end of the range the judge thought was pertinent, then maybe he would have received a lower sentence. I guess that has to be your
That
argument.
Is our position,
yeah.
Your Honor. Yes.
Okay.
Nothing further.
All right. Well, if you'd like to save a little for rebuttal, that would be fine.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Kuhn?
May it please the Court. I'll start with the sentencing issue. We agree that a Palladino remand is appropriate in this case for the limited purpose of letting the district judge determine whether she would have imposed the same sentence at the time of sentencing had she known that the guidelines were, in fact, advisory at that time.
Okay.
As far as the guilty plea issue goes,
how about this business of levels that we were just talking about? What's your
Well, we originally filed a cross appeal, thinking the judge should have imposed four levels because she did impose.
Well, I know you did that. You withdrew that, but
but
I think the issue, it may be an issue whether this two level issue takes the sentence below the range that would have included the sentence that was actually given.
Well, I think if the two levels weren't there, as the court pointed out, the 57 months still would have been within the range. It would have been at the high end instead of the low one. I think from a factual standpoint, and applying any standard at all, I don't think we would have any problem with the district court's finding that he was, in fact, a leader organizer. In fact, prior to sentencing, after the pre-sentence report came out, with the defendant's pre-sentencing submission, he conceded that the two-level adjustment was appropriate. In fact, in his submission, he listed out what he felt the guideline calculation should be, and it included these two levels. It wasn't an issue raised in the district court. The issue in the district court considering rule and the offense was whether or not it should be four levels or whether it should be two, not whether it should be two or whether it should be none. Our position is that the extent that there will be an argument, it's been waived and shouldn't be considered by this court.
Okay, but you nonetheless, because of the discretionary, non-discretionary issue, agree that there should be a Palladino remand if for no other reason for the judge to say, I think 57 months is a good sentence or what have you. Yeah.
That's correct.
Now, I'm a little troubled with the plea issue in that if the judge just marches off the bench, you know, the minute a confusing sentence comes out of a defendant's mouth, is that really the kind of process we should expect under Rule 11?
Well, I was the trial attorney, and after the plea was finished, she said we're going to take a 15-minute recess, bring the jury up, because this happened the morning of trial. Now,
which might have meant that you might have reconsidered acceptance of responsibility or something. I'm not sure that that's such a straightforward issue. But at the time, the government, as I understood the record, was supporting the plea agreement. Yes, you'd had probably a busy weekend getting ready for trial, but it still meant that you would have had a few days thereafter not being on trial and with a guilty verdict in your pocket.
Right. At that point, we had the agreement signed. We came in that morning contemplating.
Yeah, you were ready to go.
But we were also ready for trial. Once Mr. Abu Saria said, not really, the district court asked him again, not really, and he says no. And then she said, all right, bring up the jury. And defense counsel said, very good, Your Honor. That was it. He had time to say something on the record. Nothing was done.
Do you think he should have sort of gasped out, wait a minute, let me talk to him or something?
Well, I think what's very instructive here as well, Your Honor, during the entire 3 days of this trial, the guilty plea issue was never raised again. And there were many times
before Judge Conlon, would you have raised it again?
Well, I'm on the prosecution, but if I were a defense attorney, I would. You know, and in fact, I believe it was during the second day of trial, second or third day, one of the jurors didn't show up, and we had a sidebar to discuss the issue. It was the perfect opportunity to raise it. Say, Judge, we don't really need this juror. We're ready to plead right now.
Was there not an opportunity, counsel, after the court resumed the bench after the recess to ask for reconsideration of the decision to call up the jury?
Well, not without going to sidebar. And because my recollection is the jury came in before the judge came out. Or the veneer was brought in before the judge came out.
Okay.
But she issued a written ruling that evening and explained her reasons. And, you know, she said, here is somebody who has had, who has basically voiced their intent to plead guilty since September the 23rd. And there's been three continuances of her deadline. There was a guilty plea signed the Friday before, and now he comes up and says he hasn't had enough time to talk to his lawyer, even before signing after the guilty plea, the agreement had been signed. And her reasoning was, based upon those actions, he's coming up and saying, I have not really had enough time to discuss my plea, but I've already signed an agreement that I'm trying to get this court to accept. And that... And then she also said she observed his demeanor and had the opportunity to talk with him and observe him during the part where she was trying to determine his capacity to plead. And based upon all his facts, determined he was not ready to plead. She was ready to go to trial. We were ready to go to trial. And that was the next logical step.
Okay. Thank you very much. Ms. Stojkovic?
My concern in this matter is that it appears as if there almost is an articulable reason after the fact. There are things that are not on the record that made it difficult in order for Mr. Abusaria to object, to actually clarify the record. I'd be more concerned in this case also if there was a significant period of time between the time that he was arraigned and the time the trial happened. He really was this first attempt at a plea colloquy. It is not as if he had repeatedly sat before the judge and had the issues. This was a first attempt. It could have been clarified, as this court said in Williams, that he could have had the opportunity just to take a half hour with his counsel to clarify what the no not really meant. Nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Case will be taken under advisement.